Hi.
This is Take Charge Your Health with Corrine Fornari, clinical nutritionist, clinician assistant, and Carol Peterson, pharmacist.
Listen, learn, and I hope you enjoy the show. Bye.
Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corrine Fornari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back, welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health, and I'm here with my co-host,
Carol Peterson.
And we're here to look through the panic and say, don't panic. Not necessary. We are too busy to panic, and we can help you and assist you to move through all those pie charts, all those graphs, all those maps, all the blah, 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 blah of the talking heads who talk off of cue cards with minimal, if any, understanding of the true issue. What they're doing is they're given lists and they're given sound bites to say, but they really have no more depth than what they're saying at that time. So today's show with myself, clinical nutritionist, physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist, nutritionist, we're going to talk about what we can do, where we can arm ourselves to get ourselves, our families healthier and not sit there in fear. I was in the city yesterday, Carol. I happened to be up early. I went to a grocery store. It was about 8:30. I go inside the grocery store. It's like a mob scene. I even took pictures of it and posted it on my Facebook page. It was like a mob scene with women with their kids beside them going up to a shelf and with their arm grabbing the food and pushing it into their carts. Unbelievable. I said, what's happening here? And then I realized, oh. So it's all this fear that they're preaching. They're preaching fear after fear after fear. Till what can you do? What can you do? The only thing you can do is buy more. There's no other action you can take. Wash your hands and buy more. Buy more.
It's all gone, and then you're afraid because it's all gone.
Exactly. And it's not necessary. It's not necessary. We, as the public, should be able to see through all this. But it's really hard to see through this. We have news stations 24/7 preaching fear. And I'm not saying one or the other. They're all preaching fear. All they're talking about is the virus is coming, the virus is coming. Then we have the newspaper, front page every single day. The virus is here, the virus is there, the virus is there. Hello? You know what? We were put on this earth, and guess what? When we were put on this earth, there were viruses. There were bacteria, and there were parasites, and there were also tigers.
Protozoans.
How did we survive? What did we know then that we have lost by moving into the cities, by turning on our TVs and watching pundits or watching newscasters? I'm not even going to give them the courtesy of calling them pundits, because pundits assumes expertise. Most of these people have no expertise. They're just talking. They're just reading. They're talking, reciting, repeating, reciting, repeating. You might hear some anger in my voice. Do you hear it, Carol?
Yeah, I hear it.
Well, I've really avoided this on the radio show, but I what I'd like to do and what Carol and I are going to attempt to do in the first three quarters of this show is to give you steps that you can take that supports your health, supports your family's health, your children's health, and gets you out of that powerless panic that we're all being put into, that they're attempting to put us into. Powerless panic. Do you want to start, Carol? Also, this is one quick thing I'm going to say. I recommend you listen to this program, pull out a piece of paper and a pencil, and you're going to get a roadmap on how to approach health for you, your family, your parents, and it will be something you can look to for more than just one incident. I'm also going to say, to begin with, this is not the only roadmap. Every culture has very unique roadmaps that work them through health crises. When you really look deeper into the roadmap, most of them carry very similar components which allow the cells to be healthier. They just approach it in different ways and what they have available in their lands. So, Carol, I want to begin, number one, by looking at the most humble of all vitamins. There's nobody on this planet that doesn't know this name. And we overlook it because it's just so common. But it's so powerful. And that's vitamin C.
Yeah, Dr. Linus Pauling put his whole career on the line by publishing a book called Vitamin C and the Common Cold. And that's been decades ago.
Linus Pauling is a two-time Nobel Prize winner, okay? And he dedicated the last part of his life to exploring the effects of vitamin C on the human body. And what he came up with, it has been verified for year after year, is that vitamin C, in its diverse actions, indicate that vitamin C may alleviate or prevent infections caused by bacteria, virus, and protozoa, that's parasites. At a high enough concentration in the blood, vitamin C will directly inactivate viruses. And during a viral infection, the body's supplies of vitamin C are then dropped rapidly and depleted as the immune system is using the vitamin C within the white blood cells, all the vitamin C available. So the white blood cells, our immune cells, are depending on vitamin C to support our resistance. Many researchers have stated that there's not been a single virus investigated that is not destroyed when exposed to adequate concentrations of vitamin C.
Oh, there's a real positive thing going on. I know of at least three trials going on in China as we speak using IV vitamin C to treat coronavirus patients. And the results are looking very, very good. The key is to stop the viral replication and prevent a secondary pneumonia, which is really the life-threatening part.
Well, it works in two ways. Vitamin C stops the viral replication, but it enhances and supports the production of glutathione. And when glutathione is very high in the lungs, it's the number one strongest antioxidant in the body, but it's used like in milliseconds and used up, so it constantly has to be replenished. It is very difficult to have a lung infection with high glutathione in the lungs. That's why in Europe they've always used forever. They use a glutathione precursor that you use as an inhaler. And that inhaler then goes into the lungs and it converts to glutathione in the lungs, breaks up the congestion, and allows the patient to breathe again and speeds up their own natural healing. Dr. Thomas Levy, formerly of Harvard, he wrote a book and it's called Vitamin C, Infections, Disease, and Toxins, Curing the Incurable. And he stated, and I'll quote right from the book, "I have not found any virus for which vitamin C does not exert a viral-cidal, a death blow, effect as long as vitamin C enough vitamin C reaches the virus." So it's important to remember that preventing and treating respiratory infections with large amounts of vitamin C is a well-established medical treatment. And we take it for granted, and we're not looking to it to support us in the way that we need to.
We can take it both prophylactically in like 2 or 3 grams a day every day, and that means you have protection against the virus even taking hold. And then, as I mentioned before, you can also use it for treatment in much larger doses. In that case, you'll need much more vitamin C.
And you can use larger doses for prevention also. You can take it orally. You can, your kids can, your parents can. We all can take it orally. Or you can come in for an IV, which I do IV vitamin C in the office. It's incredible. I have this history of IV vitamin C where I had opera singers. I used to be right there in the theater district, and opera singers would come in before they went on the road and said, "I'm going to need this." The physical stress and the traveling that I'm going to go through, I need a prevention. And they would come in and get an IV vitamin C. And then when they were through and they came home, they'd come in and get an IV vitamin C. If there were performers on Broadway that were ill, in the middle of their performance schedule, they'd come in the early mornings, first appointment, and get IV vitamin C to prevent colds and prevent flus. This is not a hidden treatment. It's known. It's been documented. It's cheap. And it's available to all of us. All of us. So let's look into our cabinets. Am I saying this is going to 100% in every single person stop the coronavirus? Not at all. But I'm saying it's going to make us healthier and our potential for resistance goes up. Do you have more that you want to say about vitamin C, Carol?
There is also a supplement with vitamin C combined with phospholipids. It's called liposomal vitamin C. You can find that if you look. And it's a step below a direct IV, but it's a step above the other vitamin C products in that you do get enhanced absorption with the liposomal. So that's another choice for you. If you find it, it's a good choice.
The thing about that is that when you're putting a liposomal, lipo, you're putting a fat together with the vitamin C. So the body takes this oral supplement up as a fat and puts it into cells that vitamin C would normally not go to. Vitamin C is water soluble. This makes vitamin C similar to lipoic acid, which is fat soluble and water soluble. So it's a nice thing to do, but it's not necessary to get the benefits. You're still going to get benefits if you get the vitamin C. I like buffered because it can be very acidic. I like with bioflavonoids, with quercetin, because quercetin and vitamin C together and stop what they call an inflammatory cascade, which when bacteria or virus come in, the immune system then goes to attack it, but then it goes into a cascade. It goes into this high, over-exaggerated, aggressive inflammatory response that sometimes can cause damage. So by putting those two together, vitamin C acts to tamper that cascade effect, and quercetin does also.
Should we move on to vitamin D?
I love vitamin D.
I mentioned to you, I saw this on Facebook. I don't know how reliable, but it said that all these cases of the flu were on the 41st parallel. They were saying, oh, there's something suspicious about this 41st parallel. Somebody commented and said, that whole region is in the winter time.
That's pretty suspicious right there.
That's very suspicious right there. And that is really the truth. We have, in North America, we have enough problems getting enough vitamin D. In fact, I spoke with Michael Platt a few weeks ago, and he thinks we've actually lost some of our ability to make vitamin D through our skin with the aid of sunshine. And he's in Palm Springs and measures all the time and finds people with extremely low vitamin D levels, which you wouldn't expect would happen. But here we are in the dead of winter, and we always seem to have a higher risk of infection of all sorts during the winter time. And that could quite possibly be to low vitamin D. In fact, if you're taking vitamin D, the dose that will keep your D levels up in the summertime is much less than the dose that you ought to be using in the wintertime when the needs are even greater. So what do you recommend for vitamin D? Are you using that for your patients, Corinne? What's your recommendation?
Without a doubt. But I'm also following them. I do a minimum of 25 to 50,000 international units for 3 days. And then in adults, after the 3 days, I bring them down to 5,000 a day. But I've also seen their blood levels, too. In children, I do 25 for 3 days, and then I bring them down to 1,000 a day. And it comes in drops. It comes in little chocolate tablets. They're all good, and they all work. So I go up for 3 days and then bring it down to a steady state. Very effective and very supportive of the immune system. And vitamin D in and of itself can act through the white blood cells to block invading viruses and bacteria. It's a powerful tool that we have in our arsenal, in our immune system, to protect ourselves.
One great form of vitamin D is cod liver oil.
Oh, I love it.
And you have the addition of vitamin A in there, which it's active vitamin A, which is really great because some of us, the low thyroid people, cannot really efficiently convert from beta carotene from your fruits and vegetables into active vitamin A. In cod liver oil, it's already active, so it's a nice addition. And vitamin A on its own is antiviral and prevents virus replication, which is pretty powerful. Mothers and grandmothers were pretty smart to be getting us to have a tablespoon of cod liver oil every day.
I know. All of our parents, particularly our grandparents, when you ask them about cod liver oil, they all have their cod liver oil stories. I remember I had a patient, I know, boy, and they're not pleasant because in the old days, they were not able to stabilize it, so it would go rancid. The fish oil would go rancid. You still get the A and you'd still get the D, but the fish oil would be rancid. I had a patient in my practice who was German. And she said after World War II in Berlin that what they would do is the kids would leave for school and they would go by a state government facility. They would line up and they'd all get a tablespoon of cod liver oil. She said it was one of the worst things she ever did in her whole life. But now it's kind of delicious. We've stabilized it. It doesn't go rancid. And it's really wonderful. And you've got your A, you've got your D, and you have the essential fats that help focus your brain. So we know attention deficit, particularly boys, there were studies done particularly on ADD boys, are very low in essential fatty acids. Well, you'll see them drinking. Why? Because they're not holding their fluids, because their cell membrane needs those essential fatty acids and it doesn't have them. So one of the symptoms of attention deficit children is they're always thirsty. And what are they really craving? They're craving essential fatty acids to protect their cells. What next, Carol?
Okay, I want to talk about zinc.
Oh, wonderful.
With polyphenols. And this is a little complicated story, so let me take it bit by bit. I've already posted the background information for this on our Facebook page.
Oh, great.
Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne and Carol. And what you'll see there first is a short video. And he is talking about how viral replication happens inside the cell. And it takes the activity of a certain enzyme. And this enzyme is inactivated by a very simple pervasive mineral, and that is zinc. Some of you may have used zinc lozenges in the past. This is a possibility to stop the virus from duplicating. Well, what's really interesting about this is that zinc does not go inside the cell just automatically where it's needed to interface with this enzyme. So there are actually a number of things, they call it ionophores, a zinc ionophore, and it's simply a substance that will help channel zinc into your cells. All of a sudden, we have a great interest in the drugs that have been derived from quinine. We have quinacrine, chloroquine, isochloroquine. These drugs have been used to treat malaria. They're also in quite common use to treat arthritis because of their anti-inflammatory nature. Well, guess what? It turns out that there is good research that these drugs help shunt zinc into the body.
That's wonderful. So
the medical industry is probably going to be taking this up. However, I looked further, and I was looking for what could behave in the same fashion, helping zinc get into your cells. And I hit the jackpot. I'm so excited. It seems like polyphenols, which we find in our food, and the top two polyphenols are quercetin and green tea, and you will also find a link to this research that I posted on our Facebook page, so you can read the whole thing. The quercetin has actually got published studies where it does exactly that. It shuttles zinc into your cells to quell this replication of the virus.
You know what?
This is amazing.
Oh, it's amazing. What amazing work you did, Carol. That really can be a reason why when you extract beta carotene and nothing else and then give it to people who are smoking, they don't do well. Or you extract a particle of another nutrient and give it to them and they don't do well. And yet you give the herb, like elderberry, which is high in zinc, a concentration of that same nutrient, they do fabulously. And why is it? Because they create synergies that allow the cells to take them up. And you just elucidated or spoke about another complete synergy. You know, we always talk about the pumps that pull nutrients into the cell and the pump that pushes it out. Well, that really isn't quite accurate. It's gradients that allow nutrients, the gradients allow the nutrients to move into the cell, and the gradient draws nutrients or anti-nutrients out of the cell. So what we're looking at is balance by osmosis.
I have another piece to this that I haven't even told you yet.
Oh no, a surprise right here on the radio.
Here's a surprise. I was speaking to a friend of mine, Dr. Joanne May, who is a homeopath, last night. And we got interested in the source of quinine, where the drugs were derived from, and it's the bark of a tree called cinchonite. And she has her homeopathic materia medica right there, so she went to look to see if the symptoms of the coronavirus flu matched the symptoms listed for cinchona bark. And to her delight and my amazement, many of the symptoms that we're talking about with this virus, such as a dry cough, but sometimes a mucousy one, fatigue. If you are interested in homeopathic medicine or you're a homeopathic practitioner yourself, this is a possible remedy to look into. It's cinchona bark. I've also heard arsenicum has been suggested as a possible remedy for virus infections.
I really love that you brought that up, Carol, because what you're saying, in other words, there's not one way to get there. There's not one way to build your immune system. According to your culture, there are multiple ways to build your immune system. You can do it through Ayurvedic medicine. We know that the virus really hasn't hit India hard at all. One, they closed down their borders, but their borders closed down are equivalent to ours open up. That was a little sarcasm. And you didn't even laugh. That was one thing. But the other thing is they are eating turmeric 3 times a day. They're using it as a snack, as sprinkling it over their cucumbers if they need a snack. And we know that curcumin has 2 things. It has a powerful antiviral effect, and they're also using garlic and peppers. But it also has what we were talking about. It blocks an inflammatory cascade. So they might be, who knows, they might be getting it, but because of their way that they're eating, it's at a very low level because they're able to block it. So every culture has their own methods that they've had for centuries to stay healthy on this earth. Nature didn't put us here on this beautiful garden planet, which can be very hostile, unable to take care of ourselves. If nature did that, we wouldn't be around right now. Because I must tell you, there have been viruses since before we were here, and we've had, on some levels, to learn to live around them.
That's so true. Since you mentioned international information, I just saw a tidbit coming from Taiwan this morning. And it was a self-test for you to do every morning. When you get up in the morning, hold your breath and see if you can hold your breath for at least 10 seconds. If you are unable to do this, it's a sign that you're already in trouble with your lungs. Now, having said that, the trouble that can come with the coronavirus and may persist even long-term is fibrosis. And so I'd like to introduce yet one more thing you can do to help, and that is iodine. Iodine is the mineral that is needed to prevent fibrosis. And it, too, is a powerful antiviral, antiparasite, antibacterial agent. Talks about a seaweed formula that you have that you like very much.
Beautiful high iodine seaweed.
Yeah.
From the waters of Iceland, from the waters of northern Canada. So it's as pure as we can get in the ocean. It's from peninsulas that have no water running to them. So there's no mountain runoff as a river or draining into them. So these are beautiful, rich, cold water seaweeds. But I want to do something. We said the word fibrosis. Can you explain that, Carol? I don't know how many people understand that word.
That's a good question. So fibrosis is a hardening of the tissues and sort of clumps together. Sometimes it could be the thickening or excess connective tissue is the problem. And this forms in the absence of iodine. Otherwise, we really don't have a good treatment for that. Iodine, additionally, is something that will help you clear mucus from your lungs. We used to dispense, in my time, a lot of SSKI, saturated solution of potassium iodide, and it would liquefy the mucus in your lungs so you could easily cough it up.
So we have been speaking about an arsenal, literally an arsenal, of protective mechanisms that we have that we can support through nutrients. Now, our focus is nutrients, but I want to bring up a few other things that powerful in terms of supporting our immune system. And one of them, we discussed vitamin A, but what about black elderberry, as they call it? It's a black elderberry sambucus, traditional syrup that they make. It's high in zinc. It's easy to take. It's kind of delicious. It comes in little lozenges that you suck on, capsules, and it also comes in a liquid. The bioactive components of it is anthocyanin, and what it has been shown to enhance immune cell and natural killer cell reactions. It has been well studied. It's been used for centuries and well studied, and the information and the studies that came out about this came from Israel, and Israel's been the main driver bringing this berry to our attention.
I just spotted a study that was done by an Israeli virologist, and in the study, which was a double-blind and placebo-controlled, in the active group, 93.3% of the people taking this preparation reported significant improvement within 2 days of starting it. Also, they're talking about how it works. It's able to get inside the cell, as we talked about the zinc. It inhibits the ability for the virus to get inside the cell. It also prevents the virus from replicating. It also can keep the virus from spreading, so you become less contagious afterwards. And they also found in the active group that they made more antibodies to the influenza that they were exposed to when they had elderberry.
And it's easy to take, and it's great for kids. Kids take it. Even two-year-olds will suck on it. I give them the liquid. It's absolutely delicious. It's not particularly tart and easy to take. But then there's others. One is echinacea. And echinacea is a Native American herb that's been used for centuries. It has many clinical applications and more than 300, and this was written up quite a few years ago, 300 scientific studies. Echinacea activates multiple aspects of the immune function, enhancing leukocyte white blood cell counts. So it's stimulating the body to make more white blood cells and solubilizing immune complexes. So it's making the immune complexes able to be absorbed. Echinacea has been shown to compete with pathogens by blocking viral receptors on the cell surface. Not bad, is it, for a very old herb that's been on this continent forever?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it nice?
Yep, not bad at all. I think it just illustrates that rather than what some of the pronouncements we hear, that there's no cure, the alternative is probably true, that there are many, many things that you can do to help yourself prevent from getting infection once you have an infection, to mitigate the length and severity of your infection, and really prevent the worst case scenario where you have a severe pneumonia and cytokine storm devastating your body. All this is quenchable with natural products. So be informed. You have so many tools available. And I think we've only touched the tip of the iceberg. We know the herbs and things that we've been using in this country traditionally. We don't know the world's tools. And I'm sure there's many, many more things.
Well, we didn't even bring up different probiotics for our intestines. There are studies with Lactobacillus plantarum and showing that high Lactobacillus plantarum can block the coronavirus. Now, there's multiple forms of it. This study was done 4 years ago before we were aware of this form of it. But what are we saying? It can help our bodies resist viruses. And there are other lactobacillus that can stimulate our immune system, stimulate our natural killer cells. So we haven't even begun to look at our intestines. And where do we go to support that? Well, there's some beautiful formulas that they have that you can take, but also you could take yogurt. You could eat non-pasteurized pickles, non-pasteurized sauerkraut. You can eat olives. All of these foods are there for us. Kimchi is another one. Oh, it's famous. You get kimchi, it's been sitting in the cabinets for very long, and it's literally bubbling inside of its own bottle, even if it's in the refrigerator. And what are you looking at? Active probiotics, which builds your intestinal barrier, which blocks very specific bacteria and viral from entering the cells. So enough of that. And what I really want to encourage you to use this information we shared with you as your base while you're doing your research and enhancing your entire family's health. And you can do that with food. You can do it with nutrients. You're not going to do it with boxed food. I can guarantee you that. So look to what you can do to enhance your health. We just gave you the basics. We are not powerless sitting here waiting for our virus and hoping it doesn't pass us. Guess what? It'll pass us. So we better be prepared. We better have our families prepared. We don't need more toilet paper. We do need a higher level of health. And we can do it. We can do it. We've gotten through this. We'll get through many more. And forget the panic. It's not necessary. We have power. Don't forget it. So we're going into another section. Carol has this wonderful, fortunate relationship. She goes to many, many conferences. And you might have heard it. We were speaking once before to Charlie Brown, who is doing incredible work stopping an immune suppressor, a neurologic toxin, from being used in our teeth, and that's mercury. So here's an interview giving you a catch-up on where Charlie Brown is and what he's doing internationally. And I want to say right now, goodbye. Thank you for spending this time with us. Vibrant health to all of you and your family. And we'll listen to Charlie Brown and Carol right now. Bye-bye. We're taking a late break. This is Take Charge of Your Health. And we've been speaking with Carol Peterson about building our immune system. And the last part of the show, Carol Peterson is in an interview with Charlie Brown, speaking about the work he's doing, blocking the insertion of mercury amalgams in our teeth. So listen, learn, and we'll be back next week.
Hello. Here we are in Dallas, Texas. I'm at a conference that has two medical groups and integrative medicine plus two dental groups share information. And one of the issues that has been plaguing us for many years is the issue of mercury toxicity in dental amalgams. I have with me Charlie Brown, who is with Consumers for Dental Health. Charlie, welcome to the show, and could you tell us a little bit about your organization and give us an update of what's going on in this arena of mercury being placed in our bodies?
Sure, Carol, and it's great to be here. And our mission is solely to end the use of dental amalgam, mercury dental fillings. Our website is toxicteeth.org. And as that mission is for the United States and Canada, it is for the entire world. The game changer in ending amalgam in this world is the Minamata Convention on Mercury, which includes a provision requiring countries to start the process to transition to mercury-free dentistry. And that process is going on all over the world.
So is the United States part of this Minamata Agreement? We're an active partner with that?
Yes, the United States, in fact, was the first country in the world to ratify the Minamata Convention. It has since been ratified by so many countries. It is now binding. It is binding international law. And the U.S. and Canada have committed themselves, and as have all ratifying countries, to start taking action to begin the transition. And some countries are taking it more seriously than others. The European Union is way ahead of the United States, but we feel now the United States is going to head down the right path.
We've been told for years that mercury amalgam fillings are safe and do not cause any problems. But I think we've been finding out that that's actually not the case, that we have health problems created by mercury in our mouths. Can you address what are some of the things that may be underlying health problems caused by a placement of a metal filling in your mouth?
Sure. And when you place a gram, a thermometer full of mercury in a tooth, mercury being the most neurotoxic, the most vaporous of the heavy metals, it's hard to imagine that it can be safe for everybody, and it's not safe for everybody. In fact, even the U.S. Food and Drug Administration says they don't even know if it's safe for children under six or pregnant women. The government of Canada recommends that nobody with a kidney problem ever get an amalgam, and nor should pregnant women. The European Union has actually banned the use of dental amalgam for children under 15, for pregnant women, and for breastfeeding women. And they're not alone. That's going on around the world. And there are isolated cases, because this is not a rich-poor issue. The country of Cameroon, the entire Baptist Convention has ended amalgam use. The Army of Bangladesh, the Indian Railroad, the Indonesian Public Health Program. They're simply, it's a willpower issue whether we're going to put our children at huge risk of putting mercury in their mouths. And remember, mercury comes at people from many places, Carol, such as the fish we eat,
as
the power plant, such as the crematory. So if we add mercury amalgam into the mix, it can create the kind of combination that can cause, it's just not part-time or temporary, it can permanently damage the neurological system of children. It's so tragic.
So you and I were talking yesterday. One of the problems that still exists is we still teach mercury amalgam placement in dental schools. In fact, I spoke with a dentist. Her daughter recently became a dentist, and it was a requirement that in her courses, she plays mercury amalgam in some teeth. And we were also talking about payments, that we have insurance and we have government programs that mandate mercury amalgams be placed in the mouth. Do you want to expand on this a little bit?
Sure. And what we were talking about is changing an entire profession, a profession that is dug in around using mercury and dug in to keep the secret from the American people, as starting with the silver fillings deception. These are not silver fillings, they're mercury, but it's a deception that the American Dental Association engineered. One would have thought, I would have thought when I started, that the dental schools would lead the way to mercury-free dentistry. Instead, we have old professors dug in, they've taught mercury fillings for decades, and they're just going to keep teaching what they taught last year, the year before, and the year before that. We faced, when we started, an iron triangle, a mercury triangle, if you will, of dental boards, the Food and Drug Administration, and the American Dental Association. But all that has changed dramatically, Carol. Over half the dentists in America do not place amalgam. The dental boards no longer require silence by dentists. In fact, the state of Maine requires the pro-mercury dentists to make major disclosures about the risks particularly to children and pregnant women, but to anyone using mercury fillings. The forces that were dug in to protect mercury fillings are being peeled away one by one. The defense of amalgam is pretty much over. The technology is worse. Amalgam is a terrible filling material compared to the alternatives. Terrible technically. You remove good tooth matter. You don't do that with the alternatives. So to all these reasons make it clear the direction we need to go. But yes, the status quo forces led by the American Dental Association are still dug in. They have backdoor reasons that people don't know about, such as owning patents on amalgam. But we're moving forward, and we're going to move forward and win.
You referred to the gag order, and I know this is how you got started in this field. You are actually an attorney, and you defended a number of dentists against their dental boards because they dared to tell people that there were alternatives to a mercury amalgam. They could put safer materials in their mouth, and this became an offense, and dentists were being harassed and criminalized. I guess you could say that, as far as being an active member of their profession. Do you want to say a few words about what's evolved with this gag order? You just referred to it a little bit.
Sure, I am. That's correct. Dentists were told by the American Dental Association and by the dental boards not to give out the secret, not to mention mercury. They said you'd scare the patients. Well, I have to say, you as a health professional, Carol, as a pharmacist, know that part of the role of the health professional is to tell the truth, and if the truth hurts, you still need to tell it. And these dentists were telling the truth. We have a First Amendment in the United States, and that's what we presented. So the gag rule was dismantled. Dentists may now, in the past they could not. They did have licenses threatened and taken for being mercury-free and talking about it, but that's not true today. Mercury-free dentistry is on the ascendancy. The dental boards know they can no longer punish somebody for advocating, advertising, advising mercury-free dentistry. It is one of the historical. It was one of the ways the ADA kept mercury fillings in place. But that's part of the dismantling I'm talking about. The dismantling of all the structures that the ADA and their allies in Washington and their allies in the dental boards in the state capitals did to keep mercury fillings in place. We the momentum has changed.
Can you explain, I guess it's cui bono, do I have that right? Who profits from mercury amalgam, or the forces that want it still available, and they want it so badly they ignore the adverse health effects of placing mercury amalgam? Who's profiting from this stance to keep us uninformed and actually keep us ill with continuing problems with our nervous system?
It's the pro-mercury dentists. It's the dentists who are too lazy, too incompetent, who were historical relics, who don't want to read, don't want to learn, and buttressed by the pro-mercury American Dental Association. Patent holders, Huge bureaucracies. They have a pay-to-play system where the amalgam and other companies, toothpaste, all these companies just give them money to be a product endorsement system. And the ADA is not a true, is not a neutral player at all. They are a pro-Mercury organization that's tried to keep it. So they are profiting. They're a nonprofit group, but they're gaining by doing this and protecting the dentists. Really, if they can't do mercury-free dentistry, they just ought to do something else. They ought to go sell shoes because they know how to. It's really, it's this idea they're so lazy, and I have to say that they just prefer it. Now they are pressured by insurance companies, employers, the military dentists, the Indian health dentists, but they could say no there too. I worked, for example, with a prison dentist in California who was told use amalgam, and he said I'm not going to do it. And I said, well, we're going to protect your rights to do that. So. I think the profession is changing, but the leadership of the profession, of the dental profession, remains abysmal.
I would like to say something. This is really a prime example of societal change that can come about when people are involved and identify a problem and want to make a difference. You, Charlie, have been spearheading this message all over the world. And I like to say it's really the power of a few people that can make the difference. So rather than being overwhelmed by the enormity of the problem, you've taken it on bit by bit. And this is really a testimony for your work and the work of your organization, that we have pushed back on this consistent poisoning of the human population of the earth. So some people have identified the problem and taken on big interests to turn this major problem around. I think it's a spectacular example of what people can do in spite of great odds.
Well, thank you, and that's I hope it does encourage and inspire people to say I'm going to take on this or this problem, because some problems look insurmountable. I suppose that's just because they're so dug in. But we've faced that many times, and we think of leaders that have stepped up and said, well, it's not popular to say it now, it's not popular to do it now, but we're going to have to stand up, speak, and move. And we've tried to move this ball forward, and we will. I mean, we will end the use of dental amalgam.
Okay, Charlie, our listeners are part of an audience of people who want to take charge of their health. So what would be your message to our audience? How can they participate? How can they help this movement? Individually or with their friends and groups, what would you say would be a good action step for our listeners?
Well, three things, Carol. One would be to evangelize, if you will, for themselves and their families, and make sure that they don't get a mercury filling, that their family, their friends don't, to just insist. Most dentists aren't doing this, but many of them still are, and just to insist, just to either tell the dentist to use amalgam free or get a new dentist, because there will be a new dentist who doesn't use amalgam. Now, there are people cornered, if you will. They live on Indian reservations, they're in the military, they're in prisons, they're on Medicaid, who basically have limited choices. It's harder for them to assert themselves and be listened to, but we hope they would. But in the civil society, we're pretty sure the consumer can insist and win. Secondly, you can certainly get on our listing, and you can join us, like when we do a petition to FDA. If you'll write the toxic teeth, you'll go on our website, toxicteeth.org, or write me, Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, at toxicteeth.org. We'll get you on our mailing list and certainly do that. And third, as challenges become either localized or nationalized in this cause or any cause, but on this cause, we certainly would like to return and call on you if you want to tell us what part of the U.S. or what part of the world you live in.
Excellent. Thank you for your time today, Charlie. I really appreciate and just amazed by what you've accomplished so far in your lifetime. And I think it's inspirational for us all to take up a cause that's important to us. And the important thing is, in the end, the quality of our life, the health of our bodies, the health of our emotions and minds. And mercury has been a big problem in maintaining and achieving good health. So there's gold at the end of the rainbow here, I think. Charlie, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks a lot, girl. Thanks a lot. Yay.
So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
In conclusion, I'd like to say, remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. You can hear this program in its entirety on my Facebook, Corinne Fornari, RPA, CCN, or on Take Charge of Your Health Facebook page, Take Charge of Your Health. My website is fornarihealth.com, and my office number is 212-219-0700. That's 212-219-0700. And I know many of you noticed that beautiful music, a big change. My brother's group wrote it for me, Left Hook from Redding, California. Their website is Redding Left Hook. Really special. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.